Okay, let's focus now on the carbon tax. It's one of those issues that's been rumbling around in the background for a couple of years, a very important measure in terms of reducing emissions in this country, balancing out our climate change policy, where companies pay a carbon tax liability for any emissions of greenhouse gases. Now, the tax return deadline is the end of this month, coming up at the end of this week, and there's still a lot of uncertainty about what this is about, how it will be implemented, and what is involved. Olivia Rumble is the co-author of an important new book on carbon tax, The Concise Guide to Carbon Tax, and I hope it is truly concise. Olivia, a very good afternoon to you. Thanks for your time.
Afternoon, Mike. Nice to be on the air. Hi, everyone.
Okay, carbon tax. Summarize it as concisely as you can. what is it and why is it and who pays it?
That's very hard for a lawyer to do. You know, we like
you like a few sub-clauses, don't you? Okay, let's start with what is the carbon tax? What's the theory of it and what is it?
I think this stems nicely from the discussion point you're just talking about now on the fact that we need to get cars off the road and move to more streamlined forms of transport. And that's just part of not just from a traffic point of view, but also just from a carbon emissions point of view. And there's a lot of steps that the country is taking nationally to try and reduce our greenhouse gas footprint. As a country, we are extremely carbon intensive. We rank very poorly compared to the rest of the world. And as you mentioned in the introduction, for more than a decade now, actually, government has been talking about having a carbon tax. So that is a price imposed by a regulatory instrument, in this case, a Carbon Tax Act, on activities that emit greenhouse gases, so gases that cause climate change. And it's been before Parliament for many years, and it's sort of stopped and started. We were going to have it, and then it was paused, and then it was delayed, and then it was mentioned in the budget speech. Eventually, now we finally have it, and by virtue of the Act that was passed in 2019. And as you correctly pointed out, entities who are liable for the carbon tax, their first submission is due on the 29th of October, so this week. And so, as you say, it's quite a flurry now for everyone to get their submissions in time. Broadly speaking, what is a carbon tax? In the case of South Africa, we've got quite a sophisticated one. It's relatively complicated compared to a lot of other developing countries. What it does is that certain companies or entities are liable to pay a carbon tax if their activities are sufficiently large, and I use that word quite loosely, that they would trigger what we call a taxable activity threshold under the Act and then become liable. So not everyone is now going to be suddenly paying a carbon tax, but only certain companies that have volumes of greenhouse gas emissions that are worthy of trying to tax. And the whole point of the tax is to try and disincentivize activities that have that footprint and push the economy towards something that's a little bit greener and lower carbon.
Give me an idea of the scale. Which sort of companies or entities would be liable? Is it, if I've got a fleet of trucks, do I need to have a giant chimney stack? Do I need to have a manufacturing plant? At what level is this kicking in?
So medium size. So not SMEs, but generally. But medium-sized activities like manufacturing, pulp and paper, cement, obviously, the biggest steel manufacturers, of course. Eskom, unfortunately, will be very heavily hit. I'm trying to think.
Trucking, would trucking companies, if I've got 20 trucks, is that gonna be big enough to warrant a carbon tax?
So mobile sources, anything that runs off petrol and diesel in a vehicle won't be paying the carbon tax, but you pay it indirectly through the fuel pump.
Yep, okay.
So that's factored in there.
All right, and is it very clear how this is measured and how much you have to pay? Is everyone clear in their understanding of what they have to do at the end of this week?
Well, that's why I am gainfully employed. It is not that clear. And it is, as I mentioned in the beginning, it's quite, and I don't mean to say this to be alarmist, but it is a relatively complicated regime compared to simply putting a tax on fuel, for instance. It involves measuring your greenhouse gas emissions, or at least estimating your emissions. That in itself means that you would need to employ someone or have in-house technical expertise to figure out what those emissions are, reporting on those to the Department of Environmental Affairs. Based on those reported emissions, you would then use a formula that is, goodness, I think there's about 12 alphabet letters
for what the symbol stands for.
And then you would need to license and register your operations as a warehouse under the Customs and Excise Act, fill in various forms, submit to SARS, etc. If you want to be astute, you would also might want to make use of various allowances, so effectively tax deductions to try and reduce your carbon tax. But that, unfortunately, obviously creates more complexity in the returns process because being able to claim each of those allowances itself requires proof and following a particular administrative process in parallel to your tax return. So like any tax, it's difficult in the beginning, and I'm sure people are going to have questions and queries, and those have come up. But it will, you know, SARS is usually quite good in clarifying tax regimes as they evolve and ironing out issues. And so I'm sure we will see some clarifications over the months.
But it does sound a bit like a well-intentioned nightmare the way you've described it. I don't know if that's what you're intending. And you say SARS are good at clarifying and they are a reasonably good operation, but it sounds like an enormously complex regime.
It is complicated, but it is also, I think, a well-meaning one. So I think it was really relatively simple. Well, it was simpler in the beginning, and then business asked for more leeway or wiggle room in order to claim allowances and deductions in order to reduce their carbon tax liability. As soon as you introduce that nuance to give business the benefit of claiming those allowances, then you have more complexity. So it's sort of give and take situation. But I think overall it's a good thing. We are preserving our trade integrity. I'm sure you've heard about the EU talking about border carbon adjustments. So it's ultimately in the interest of not just South Africans themselves, but also our trade, import and export, and our standing internationally in the climate change negotiations. So it's a good thing overall, but it's a teething process.
Olivia, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Lawyer Olivia Rumble, who is the co-author. She's the director of climate legal and co-author of the book, The Concise Guide to Carbon Tax.